So today's Torah portion, Parsha Haazinu, it's a very interesting Torah portion. Let us open Deuteronomy chapter 32, and let us jump right away in the scriptures. It is very interesting and meaningful place of the scriptures for us. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. But Adonai's portion is his people. Jacob is the share of his inheritance. He found his people in desert country, in a howling, wasted wilderness. He protected him and cared for him, guarded him like a pupil of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up her nest, hovers over her young, spreads out her wings, takes them and carries them as she flies. Amen. Can you see the picture of it, actually? It is such an amazing picture. Can you see yourself here? Not that great, not that white one, but this small gray one, yeah? Do not miss this picture with other picture. How much is said in these verses from today's Torah chapter? What a beautiful picture of the Lord shows us. He's showing us by comparing himself to an eagle and us to his chicks, the small ones, this one. A baby eagle is called an eaglet. Until they are able to fly, they depend on their parents for everything, literally for everything. They could not survive without their parents. The eagle's nest is wholly protected from enemies by parents, really protected. And when the time comes and the eagles grow up, they learn how to fly from their parents and by practicing near their nest. So their parents teach them how to fly. It is an interesting picture. One of the main ways they practice is by spreading their wings and jumping to a nearby branch. They just jumping from branch to branch, trying to catch the wind and to learn how to fly. Likewise, the Lord taught the Jewish people trust, how to spread the wings of faith, how to catch the flow of the Holy Spirit, how to learn to fly. For me, yeah, look at here. Probably this is you. What do you think? Flying in the winds of the Holy Spirit. For me, the fly of a bird is a type of faith, is a picture of faith, trust in God. Just as an eagle relies on and leans on invisible air currents and flies, you don't see anything below him. He's just flying. In the same way, leaning on the invisible wind of the Holy Spirit, we can spread our wings and learn to fly and trust the Lord. That is why our Lord Yeshua compares the Holy Spirit to the invisible breath of the wind when he speaks of him. Let us open John chapter 3, Yohanan chapter 3, verse 6. John 3, verse 6. What is born of the flesh is flesh. Yeah, I can hear old school Bibles. I can hear it. I can't hear new school. It's very easy. But I can hear old school. Like, good. Thank you so much. I enjoy this sound. So John 3:6. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I said to you, you all must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Spirit in Greek, pneuma, means wind, breath, spirit. In Hebrew, ruach also means wind, breath, spirit. The same way as the wind, we cannot see with our own eyes, but we can feel it. Can you see the wind, actually? Mm-mm. We can see how the invisible wind affects the visible world around us. This is why we know is the wind out there, because we see things flying around. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, we do not see Him with our own eyes. We do not see Him. Still, sometimes we can feel Him. We can feel His presence. Sometimes we can recognize His presence when He changes circumstances around us. When He comes, we can feel Him. Sometimes we can hear the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit, either in mind or in heart, in the heart. And sometimes He can speak to us in visions or dreams, or He has many ways how to speak to us. That is why Yeshua said, you hear His voice, but you don't know where He goes. The wind of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord taught His people Israel for 40 years in the desert and is still teaching us now how to fly in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He showed them how to live by faith, how to live in another dimension of the Holy Spirit, the dimension of God's love, how to become kings and priests on this earth. Actually, His calling for His people is forever the same, never changed. Let us open briefly Exodus chapter 19 and read it briefly. Exodus 19. Yeah. And I will pause here because we need to open this place. It's an important place. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. So here's the important part. Moses went up to God. Let's say it together. Verse 3, let's read together. Moses went up to God. It was not Moses' idea. It was not his poetry, you know. Let's say something. I'm written Torah, so let's say something there. So he went to the Lord, into His presence. Here's the Lord. And Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, so the Lord is speaking to Moses, and through Moses to all of us who are here. And Adonai called to him from the mountain, saying, say this to the house of Jacob, and tell Bnei Israel. It is a direction, it's the calling from the Lord. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people. For all the earth is mine. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to Bnei Israel. This is my direction for them. This is my calling towards them. I call them to be these people, my holy nation, my Kohanim. Do you remember 1 Peter? The same idea. My holy nation. It is possible only in the will of God, only when we fly in faith, in the wind of the Holy Spirit. But let us look at the result in the same Torah chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 32. So let us go back to the same chapter and let us read, I would say, difficult verse, unpleasant verse. The Lord reproaches the people that they did not want to study, did not want to leave the nest, became ungrateful, decided that now the Lord must always keep them in the nest and feed them forever. So verse 15, chapter 32. But Yehurun, or Yeshurun, grew fat and rebelled. He abandoned God, his maker. He mocked the rock of his salvation. The Lord found them in a difficult situation, carried them on the winds of love, kept, led, showed the way, provided everything necessary, fed, answered prayers, and what ingratitude he received from his people. How many incredible miracles happened before the eyes of the Jewish people? The sea moves apart. A large army of enemies perish. Manna descends from heaven. Water flows from a rock. The cloud of God's presence stands during the day to give a shadow and a pillar of fire in the desert in the nighttime. But despite all this, the people became spiritually fat and lazy. They considered that it was not a blessing from God that made them successful and prosperous, but their own wisdom and strength. They did not understand the lessons the Lord was giving them, and therefore they became ungrateful to the Lord. So let's think about it for one moment. Let's think about our lives today, right now. Let's think about Yeshua. Yeshua, he is the visible representation of an invisible God. He came to this earth. As an eagle, he showed us how to fly. He lived his life in front of our eyes. We have Gospels. We have four books. We can read about his life in details. Yeshua, the Messiah, he's our Lord who, like an eagle, showed us how to fly, how to believe, how to live our life. Let us open Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. I believe these scriptures are very important to read because they're giving us faith and power to move on. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and we know that Clot is right now, he is our witness, and Tom, he's with the Lord. They are surrounding us right now. Let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race set before us. Continue. Go forward. Focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross, disregarding its shame, and he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and lose heart. Move forward. Endure. This time in which we live is precious because this is the time to learn to fly. This is the time to learn to fly. The Lord teaches us today to trust him, to be grateful to him. And when you fly in faith like an eagle above the mountains of your problems, can you see these mountains there? The Lord wants you to fly over them. Above the rocks of your difficulties, you need to learn not to look down with fear. Because the higher you fly, the more you should trust the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life and not be afraid to fall. Eagle, not afraid to fly, because he trusts the flow of the wind. You know, personally, I like to stand on top of a mountain and look down at the beauty that unfolds beneath me. I remember times when I liked roller coasters, you know, the time, not anymore. I can't handle it anymore. I'm too old for that. But I remember that feeling, you know, when you're on top of something, and it's excitement, now you will go down. Lord, save me. The Lord will teach us, show us, support us, help us like as a loving father. But you know, it is his part. But we must want to learn. We must want to follow him. We need to want to do his will. It is our part. There is a fascinating old saying, the walking one will master the road. Only the walking one will master the road. It is the same with the Lord. We have to go forward. We have to move with the Lord. Eagle must fly. It can't just, you know, freeze forever at the same place. It needs to fly. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, 13. One of the best places of the scripture about vision, movement forward, goal in our lives. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, which means all of us, it includes every one of us here. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of this, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal for the reward of the upward calling of God in Messiah Yeshua. I press forward. I go forward. I fly forward. I'm trying to go forward. I want to share an important lesson from my personal life, and it's a very, very important lesson for me. When something does not work out, when you do something and it's not work out, and the enemy, and he's always there, comes to try to convince you that God has forgotten you, or you are too sinful and the Lord does not hear you, or you have the lack of faith and therefore trouble happens to you. This is his favorite one. You are not faithful enough, this is why you have this problem. I believe that at this moment, it is necessary to learn how to distinguish the voice of the Holy Spirit, which will always support, never accuse or condemn you. It is not the Holy Spirit. He is never condemn you. From the voice of the enemy who is trying to blame you and judge you. The enemy tries to tell you that the Lord is finished with you. It is his favorite one. And it is essential to find yourself in the Bible, to see your situation through the eyes of the Scripture. You know, you are here. You're in the Bible. You can find yourself. How? There are sure to be examples of people in the Bible who went through similar difficulties to you, suffered defeats that you suffered. You can find these people here. You can learn from their lives. And then learn from the Bible how to move forward, pray, and continue to learn to fly by faith. It is a very important part. It is always good. So now I want to return to chapter 32 again and take some important lessons for you and me. Let us open again Deuteronomy 32. And no more than 20 places of scripture for today. Okay. That's it. As somebody would say, come on, brother.
Keep going.
Keep going, yeah. So, Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Yeshurun grew fat and rebelled. He abandoned God, his maker. He marked the rock of his salvation. So, as I reflected upon this passage from the Bible, I realized that spiritual laziness and ingratitude is a huge temptation for all of us. And in fact, can be for every person on earth. It is a temptation. I constantly have to stand guard over my heart. And I must do tshuva to turn to God every day. Tshuva is daily work. It is our daily job. We need to do tshuva. We need to stand and say, Lord, please forgive me. Show me if I'm wrong somewhere. I want to turn to you. I want to look at you. It is so easy to judge people who are walking in the desert. So easy to judge the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, as they groaned to Moses and complained to the Lord, when you have never experienced such difficulties for yourself. It is easy to judge others. But if you run into such difficulties, what happens in your own heart? How do you respond when it costs you to serve God? How do you deal with your problem when you don't find the answer you were expecting? This is the question for us. That is when you learn what is you are made of, what is in your heart, whether you are ready to follow the Lord humbly. We need to watch our hearts so we do not fall into a state of ingratitude towards the Lord. We can be ungrateful to the Lord. He is the Lord. To remain humble and always grateful to God for everything. This is the main lesson from this place of scripture. To remain humble. Let's say together, remain humble. I would not ask wives to say to their husbands or husbands to say to their wives. Let them talk together later after the service. But say to the Lord, always, I want to remain humble, Lord. Help me. Actually, humbleness, it's an important word in English. Very important word in English. I don't think it is popular word today. People think if you're humble, you're weak. Or not ready, or I don't know. They can spit on you or something. The same way with Yeshua. He was humble. He took the sins of nation, of people, upon himself. He had power to destroy this world like that. But he humbled himself. And he is our Father. He is an eagle who is teaching us how to fly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18. I promise you, no more than 20. So you can count how much no more than 20. It's an amazing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. In everything, give thanks. Wow. Such a high standard in everything. In everything. In everything. Think about it. For this is God's will for you in Messiah Yeshua. What's God's will? Give thanks to the Lord in everything. Receive his presence. Receive his mercy. Receive his will into your life. How difficult it is to love an ungrateful child. How hard it becomes to serve someone who does not value your service. It is a very difficult job. When you try to help and somebody don't want your help. More you help, more he hates you. At some point you will say, oh, not anymore, I can't. I will find somebody else and will help somebody else. Think about it. Malachi 1:6, I promise you, no more than 20. Malachi 1:6. Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. So, if I am father, where is my honor? If I am master, you say that I'm your father and your master. If I am master, where is my reverence? Says Adonai Sevaot. It is a serious thing. It is a serious requirement. If you'd call me my father, if you call me master, show me your honor. I'm really thank the Lord for today's service, because Derek says the very important thoughts for today, actually in one accord. Thank you, Renee, for these songs. We stand before you in awe. If I am a master, where is my reverence? If I am father, where is my honor? Thanksgiving creates a unique atmosphere in your life that attracts the presence of the Lord. It attracts the wind of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, you need to be grateful to the Lord. And even if you're going through difficult time and time of loss or time of unanswered prayer, I know it is hard to be grateful, but it is who we are. We created by the Lord to be as He is. And Yeshua was always grateful to His Father, always, every time, in every situation of His life. So we are created to be grateful people, grateful to the Lord. It doesn't mean that we need to be joyful always. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes we need to cry. Sometimes we can be angry, and we can say to the Lord, honestly, Lord, I'm angry at you. Please forgive me. Change my heart. But we need to live in state of gratitude. This is who we are. We are called to be grateful to the Lord. It attracts the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving becomes an altar on which the Spirit of God descends. I remember many times in my prayer when I was in misunderstanding, or I didn't understand what's going on, and I just ask Lord, and then I just give thanks to Him. And when His presence comes upon you, you don't have any question to Him. Just gratefulness. Lord, thank you so much for everything. The Lord desires to do good to grateful children and please those who will be happy. Better to be over happy than not over happy. Always keep gratitude in your heart. Constantly articulate it with your tongue. Say, thank you, Lord, as often as you can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Note that faith and gratitude are always linked together. Faith, part of faith is gratitude. Without gratitude, there's no faith, no trust. We cannot force God to do something, but present your request to Him with a humble and grateful heart, and He will notice such a request. And I want to end my message with the place from today's Haftorah portion. It is 2 Samuel 22. 20, yeah, less than 20. So this is the last one. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. Here's the man of God King David. He was the prophet. He was the king. He was the anointed one. Messiah came from him into this world. David spoke to Adonai the words of this song. He spoke to Adonai, not to people, but to the Lord. It was his song, his prayer to the Lord. The words of his song in the day that Adonai delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, Adonai is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock. In him I take refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, my stronghold, and my refuge. My Savior, my Yeshua, you save me from violence. Amen and amen. The Lord is such a great Lord. We have so many things to give thanks to him. I would like to invite my wife, Ina, to join me on the stage and let us stand together and close this service with Aaron's blessing. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. So let us pray. Yiverecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.